is RSBMB Update, episode 405, recorded Saturday, March 23rd, 2013. The Summer of Innovation. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Thank you for joining us this week. Just Trekkie and myself here this week.
All right. Hi, guys. Hi, gals.
We don't have much to exactly talk about this week, but nonetheless, we're going to discuss some things that happened in the realm of RuneScape and a major reveal of what is happening going forward.
Yes. All right, so I guess we'll start off with the first thing was dealing with the games of chance. Shane. That was a big sigh.
Yes, I know.
All right, you go ahead. Go explain it to them.
Well, anybody who listened the last week will know that Jagex was consulting with the player base as to what to do with games of chance. And this week, they released the update to do this, and unsurprisingly, the result ended up being that they removed the element of chance from these items. Now, I personally think that this was determined in advance, but we don't know. I mean, they could have actually been taken into account what the public in general said, but I think that it was determined in advance. Nonetheless, I think it is a good thing that they actually did this, as we discussed last week in my monologue.
Monologue.
Yes. Those are nice, aren't they? I just love the fact that games of chance are gone now, and we actually did have a bit of a discussion about this on the forums, which I'll get to in a moment. But first up, also known as flower games, hot, cold games, or dicing, these games of chance had grown to become a major problem for the community and for us as the administrators of RuneScape. In these games of chance, hosts offer other players a deal, usually by publicly spamming, and take a bet on the outcome of a randomized event. Such activities create many problems and encourage spam advertising, trust-based trades, and are rife with scamming. They're disruptive to the game's economy, and they create the feeling of unfairness and have links to real-world trading and gold farming. Damn right. So, firstly, with immediate effect, there's a new rule in RuneScape. You must not advertise, organize, promote, or participate in player-runs games of chance, where game money or items staked on the outcome of a random activity. Now, it's good that they removed the more corrupt ways of doing this, don't you think?
Gambling in nature is the winning bet is always on the house. The favorite is always the house.
Of course. And I have no problem with gambling. It's just a matter of what happens when younger people have access to it. Exactly.
So go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say the topic on the forums that came up about this was that yes, we removed it, but there are other ways of having games of chance in RuneScape. Some of them were indeed patched. For example, the Dungeoneering skill cape in the tweaks and fixes this week will now not show a randomized emote. It'll instead show whichever one of your skills is highest. But other things that came up was what about gambling of going to Nex or something? But I think we can all agree that's slightly different than actually participating in a game of chance. But
well, no, you are taking a chance. Right? You're spending money to get items, and you're hoping that the outcome is good. But usually the outcome is not, at least not for me and you.
Remember, I got Torva gloves with my two,
darts.
Darts from the Sizzling Summer.
Yeah, only thing I got was a bunch of sharks instead of Domen Brew. That was nice. I'm happy to say I did finally kill the Queen Black Dragon for once.
and you didn't get anything.
I got coins. But then I finally killed her for real, so I was happy with that. That was my little triumph after a while.
This was a triumph? Did you play Portal?
The Steam game? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
1 and 2.
Okay. All right. Moving on along with this. Items they changed were the Mithril Seed, Easter Ring, Seal of Approval, and the Classic Gate. So Mithril Seeds will now always grow the same colored flower, but picking the flower will result in a random colored one going into your inventory. The Ring of Egg will always now turn blue. That's kind of unfortunate, but...
I think it should be red, but that's just me. But Seal of Approval, yeah. Emu now chooses the same seal every time it's used, and the Skill Cape Emu button when wearing the Classic K will always display a Rune Hatchet image.
Aww, I was hoping it'd be the Rune Bar. I like that one.
Yeah. And let's see, what's on... Other little thing. And
those
of course,
are really the only main ones they mentioned.
Yeah, and of course, little tidbits here is that references to player run games of chance have been removed from the quick chat option. And that's pretty much
it. Well, yeah,
that
I mean,
that's like a duh.
I don't get why that would have been in the quick chat to begin with. So, but also in the tweaks and fixes section, a bunch of other hot fixes to mitigate this. As I mentioned, the Dungeoneering skill cape now only shows the melee emote if your stats are equal. Otherwise, it'll default to the highest stat. Players will now only see Yum when eating Ugg Thinky Kebab rather than something random. Preaching from God books will now only preach a certain passage. So those are the other two that they fixed.
Get into it.
Chance games are done. Overall, I'm glad that they did this, and it was the right decision for Jagex and the community in general, I think. Because if you think about it, what they were purporting before was that, you know, this thing would have been okay if they wouldn't have done anything about it. And as a company, you really got to question what you're teaching to your user base, children. Especially if they're at the age, well, not children, but the teenager type age, you know, so... all in all, a good move by JX. I'm still a little bit, I wouldn't say upset this week. I'm a little bit confused as to why they needed a topic to discuss this still. But anyways, that's in the past. Water under the bridge. Shall we move on to the general tweaks and fixes from this week?
Some of them, the armor stats for Obsidian armor has been increased from level 60 to level 80. Requirements through Smith for Obsidian has been reduced from 90 to 85. Assisting is permitted. Oh, we can get Lance to do that for us. let's see, what's the other one? Tazar Obsidian helmets now feature the benefits of Slayer helmets that increases effectiveness against Slayer targets. Bonus only applies when Slayer target is in the Tazar city. And the three helmets now bestow class-specific combat triangle defenses like Void helmets do. Okay, so they made Obsidian armor a little bit more powerful and a little bit more accessible to people.
That's good.
And
you know, that's the armor that can only gives the bonus, is only good if you're actually in the Tazar area, right?
I believe so. They give you that little extra bonus in there, but if you're one of those people who would like to farm fire capes all day, lava capes all day long, by all means, this may be helpful. Let's see, what's the other one?
Momentum change. It's toggled.
It's supposedly kind of like how single combat in the wilderness thing kind of works. I don't see that being
really
useful.
You know, I never use momentum, but I think this is a good change for people who want to do combat the old way. That way then they don't even need to charge up to a full adrenaline bar to do it. And it's important to note that while you're using it, you don't gain adrenaline, and it's still canceled by the use of any other ability. So, this one's also interesting. From today, Diango will be able to replace items with combat stats that have been obtained from the Squeal of Fortune. Carries a fee of gold coins relative to the highest wield requirement for the item you can access. Please note that the following items cannot be retrieved from Diango if they've been destroyed prior to today's update. Shark Fists, the Tsar Whip, the Cupid Bow, the Rose Thorn Wand, and the Broken Heart.
The Broken Heart, okay.
I was wondering, does this include items like the Lucky God Swords and whatnot?
I think if you're lucky enough to get one of those, why would you get rid of it unless you're already super rich? In which case, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
So if you're already super rich, you don't care about those. But you know, for someone like me and you, getting some a lucky god sword or that ain't bad.
Hey, I could buy one if I wanted. I have like 85 mil.
I know you could buy one, but you don't have to buy one if you end up getting a lucky one.
I know, because I'm cheap. Like you.
Shane, if I was cheap, I wouldn't be here.
Why is that?
Because I'll be outside asking people for money, like a good liberal should.
All right.
You started it.
The Bone Crusher now crushes all bones dropped by a vanquished enemy, rather than just their guaranteed drop. So this is very good for creatures like Bloodvelds and Fire Giants.
I don't know. I've always had it. Get rid of my small ones before. Unless it counts big bones now, which I know that's
no.
Nice.
No.
Only regular,
because
right?
Because remember the Blood Veld dropped big bones, but it could also drop more big bones and small bones, like a huge stack of them. So it's good to finally have this.
Maybe it was just me, but I've always had to bury all my small bones. No. And it was the big bones that never did it. I swear it did it for me.
No.
I've
had to leave small bones behind. We already mentioned the quick chat. The superior player owned ports armor can now be repaired at any stage of degradation. That's probably a good idea.
Thank you. I still need chi. Lots and lots of chi.
And now, here's something interesting. We bought Premier Club, and this was my main reason of doing it, along with the betas. But, Solomon's store now stocks a range of cosmetic items you may have missed out on. So these are all the items that you can get from the Premier Club or purchasing members' cards. I guess that's okay.
Mm-hmm. At least we get them for free, apart with our membership, you don't have to buy more.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask you about Premier Club. Are you still getting 3 spins a day?
I think they said it was a bug the other day that they're trying to fix. Remember Friday to have that giant update in the middle of the day? People were saying, I was hearing people saying that they weren't getting their 3 spins, and I think they said it was an update somewhere.
I wasn't. Okay, good.
I wasn't,
All right. So if you want the Flaming Skull, you can pick that up in the general store.
All you need now is a leather jacket and a motorcycle. Ghost Rider!
I don't get that.
I know you don't, but other people do.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Fixes this week for the Tsar area and the Tsar quests. Interesting that they got a whole cluster of them this week, including the Fight Cauldron too, and Obsidian Armors. But there's lots of them, so I'm not going to go through these, but... definitely take a look if you've been trying to do anything down there. Might have made it a bit easier.
Let's see. Yeah, so lots of little things, more experience, making the waves a little bit easier.
That's good.
Little bit, not a lot.
Oh, look at this. The Ceridoman sword now displays the correct attack style in the equipment stats interface. So,
see? I told you it was wrong.
Does that mean it's a crush now? Rather than a slash?
Yeah, it's always been a crush.
Is it a slash? Okay, crush. So I'm betting it's a slash now, right?
Let me go. It should be crush because...
yeah, log in and check.
I am going.
Because...
Hold your horse,
remember,
dude.
We had this debate.
It was always crush
because
before.
The Ceridoman God Sword and the
regular sword.
Ceridoman Sword look awfully similar. So, I mean, like, why should they have different attack styles? So, you got it?
I have it equipped. How do I tell? I can't remember how to tell it what stat it is.
Mouse over it. Also, an issue with vampirism. Healing the wrong person in PvP has been fixed. That's funny.
Killing the wrong person?
Healing the wrong person.
Yeah, it's a crushing weapon. Told you.
And what was it before?
It said slash, but it was always a crush. You see, yeah.
So now it's in line with the other god swords, correct?
It's just a regular sword. All god swords actually consider slash. Don't know why. Oh, it should be crush, but it all considered slash.
Yeah.
Which is why I worked so hard to get the Ceridoman sword, because I needed it to finish off Brink of Extinction. I didn't have a crush weapon.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good crush weapon. All right. So moving on from the tweaks and fixes this week. Squeal of Fortune, Slayer Masks. We really don't talk about Squeal of Fortune that much anymore, but I thought it was prudent to bring it up this week because of the Slayer Masks. So, there's 5 Slayer Masks that you can get. Crawling Hands, Cockatrices, Basilisk, Karrasque, and Abyssal Demons. So, the idea is that you equip a mask and attack the creature. You'll have a boost to combat stat, damage is boosted, and you'll get extra Slayer XP, and you'll earn double drops for every 10th creature that you kill. This, of course, will run out after a certain amount of kills, so, I mean, it's good if you have a task for it, but there's one other thing pertaining to this as to why you might want the Abyssal Demon mask. Do you know what that is?
While wearing each mask, you can ensure that once a day, your next Slayer assignment, it will be for its represented monster. And you can also use it to teleport to locations where the creature can be found twice a day, and in fact acts like a face mask in case of the cockatrice and Bolstark mask as a mirror shield.
I think this is great, especially for the Abyssal Demons, because I like doing Abyssals, and they're good for Slayer, getting whips and whatnot. Granted, whips are cheap now, but still, Abyssals have always been a fun task, so why not?
And now since they drop Infernal Ashes, you can grab a BOP and... BOP, okay. You can grab one, Beast of Burden.
We're going to use a Bird of Prey?
Bob. You can use a bow to carry the Infernal Ashes in order and sell them later on. Or if a yak.
Yeah, and they've gone up actually a bit.
Of course they've gone up. It's almost summer. They're stocking up for the world of kids to leave school and start doing prayer like crazy. Which, actually, this summer we have some interesting news, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Before that, do you think I'll be able to get one of these masks this weekend, given the fact I don't have my 3 spins?
If your luck is my luck, no, you won't. But if you're willing to spend a wee bit, gamble it a little bit.
I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying real money for this. It's not worth it, in my opinion.
And then your luck is better than mine. So, let's do it. Let's see. So, anyway, we have that behind the scenes to deal with the Wilderness War bans.
Yeah. So, I was thinking kind of like Steel and Creation when this was first announced, but according to the video, it looks like it's an actual PvP minigame that is kind of the same idea about Bounty Hunter, that you have to kill someone, but not for the main reason of just killing them to because they're your bounty. But in this case, you're actually going to want to kill them to get the loot that they have, because they get these pieces of armor or whatever, I think it was, and then they're going to be glowing very bright, so they're going to show who has it, and the only way this is going to be obtainable is through PvP. So a good way for the PvPers to make some money and maybe bring some of them back to the game.
And one other little thing is, let's see, one other little thing. Is this a safe minigame? I can't remember. Is it, or is it not?
No, no.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No.
Shame, we should go definitely go in there with full bronze and see what we can do.
Yeah, 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 that'd be good. So
have an inventory full of wheat.
I don't know. I really haven't done much research into the whole PvP thing since EOC came out. And if I remember correctly, the reason I never PvP'd in pre-EOC RuneScape was that pretty much the peers controlled everything, which we know what their status is nowadays.
They're crying in the little corner of their closet, and we gave them a box of tissues, but they don't want it.
Yep. I'm glad everyone's finally seeing that. I've been saying that since 2006.
Let's see.
All right, but the more interesting BTS video, in my opinion, was the bonus edition, including the reveal of RuneScape 3.
All right, so
you know, I knew they would have to call this RuneScape 3. It's too big to not call it RuneScape 3. So I wonder if we're going to see another effort to have a RuneScape 2 and RuneScape 3 separated thing, you know? Because that's what they did with RS Classic. And then we'll have RS Classic, we'll have RuneScape 2, and then we'll have RuneScape 3. Now, if that's not confusing, I don't know what is. So I just hope they're going to keep it as one this time. Oh, oops. Okay, so yes, definitely need to keep it as just one this time, because otherwise that's going to be way too confusing. So.
Oh, they'll probably change the name. Doesn't really matter. Back to just RuneScape. And call it, and basically it'll be a classic,
yeah, eventually.
Nui, Nui, Oi, and Nui. Nui, Nui.
What?
You have classic, then you have oldie, then you have old, then you have Nui. What?
Let's see.
You have RuneScape Classic, you have the 07 server, you have RuneScape 2 and RuneScape 3.
So
anyway,
oldie, new and newy.
We have the oldies, we have the old, we have
but
we
yes.
have yeah. Okay. Anyway,
right.
What's going to be interesting about this is that they're really starting to integrate HTML5 and open WebGL, I believe, right, Shane?
Yeah, that's right.
So they're going to really integrate those two components into the game itself, which means we're going to have to start using Chrome in order to play the game.
Which really isn't much of a problem, because if you've been using Chrome as a web browser, you might as well just use it to play RS. And one thing they're really highlighting with HTML5 is the fact that it's going to be able to take more advantage of the hardware behind your computer. Another thing they mentioned through this is there's also going to be better color depth and whatnot. And the reason this is the case is because Java is limited to which OpenGL version Java supports, and sometimes Java's support of OpenGL is not that great. So, I mean, it just makes sense that HTML5 is the next logical step, because if you think about it, Java's been having so many security vulnerabilities, and, I mean, we really haven't seen anything groundbreaking from Java since Java 5. So, I think it's time to move on in that respect. And JGix probably knows this. They don't want to keep exposing people to this kind of security hole. Another thing they mentioned is a whole new interface redesign. You're going to be able to customize your interface, take interfaces from certain areas and clump them all together. So I'm hoping
Shane's
we'll see a better way of
05, ain't it?
Yeah, you know, one thing I hope we really, really see from this is killing off of the fixed window, because that thing is holding the evolution of the interface back so much.
Well,
they need to kill that off.
Let's see, what's another thing? The concept pictures, they really made
RuneScape,
everything looks grander. Everything bigger,
yeah,
older.
That's the draw distance. But the main thing that people need to be happy about with RS3 is we had a question about this a couple weeks back. Choices that you make in game are actually going to influence the game world. So that's the feeling I get from the video is that it's so important to have RS3 for this, because of all the changes now that we're in the sixth age after the Guthix quest. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with this, because I think we can all agree that we've been wanting our choices we make in quests to have a bearing for a long time, haven't we?
Well, like I said last week, with the quest is that, you know, one, hopefully they'll fix up Edgeville, because government sure ain't doing it. And two, hopefully, you know, like, the end result of the quest may be the same for all of us, but how we get to it may be different depending on what we did. Just, you know, kind of like how many other games do it. But maybe Jagex will surprise us all and do something like, you burn down Drainer, it stays burned down, except for the banker dude, because he's poor. Well...
yeah, that'd be interesting.
Actually, it would be nice to burn.
Hey, maybe I could
Drainer.
Have my own conservative version of RuneScape.
Full of white people?
What?
No. You and Jig would love that world, wouldn't you?
I bet he's going to be listening to this, seeing as he has a question. And why don't we move on to questions right now?
Okay. You want to go first, or should I go first?
So, you can read it.
All right, this question is from Alex43. After completing the World Wakes quest, and spoiler alert, witnessing the death of God, we may in the inevitable future be facing another god, facing the other gods like Zeradomin, Zamorak, or Zaros. How would you rather they be fought? Fought and killed a single at a time in quest with a single reward, or fought like a team, like a boss monster, then they respawn and drops in which you really, really, never really, really kill them all. But considering they are a god, and unless you have a weapon to kill the god, they're considered immortals. So in theory, you wouldn't kill them, you just end up, you know, starting their reincarnation process.
But Guthix died. Guthix died, and he was a god.
Yeah, but we had a weapon to kill a god. Shane, and we don't have a weapon to kill a god.
We might, if we ally with one of the other gods.
But, Shane, if you do the whole, you know, protect, be the defender of Glenanora, you wouldn't really want to kill them off. It's all about balance.
Yeah, and keeping the status quo. But in regards to the question, I think that... it wouldn't be one at a time, or it wouldn't be all in a single group. We'd have to do it so that we'd probably be allied with one of the gods or two gods against one or two of the other ones, if you catch my drift, just because it wouldn't really make sense, I think, from a story perspective to be going in alone to, fight just the one god. So,
actually,
or all the
what
gods
I would...
together for that matter.
Well, depending on which side you sided on, I would like to just have a gigantic battle scene. You know, just Zeradomin comes back with his army, Zamorak comes back with his army, you may lead Guthix's army, and, you know, just like crazy FFA going on, like we do in StarCraft 2 almost every other week.
Yeah, but if you kill a god, what's left?
Well, if you kill a guy, you get
like the Klingons.
Why?
Because the Klingons killed their gods.
Mm. Only one of them tried. But let's see. I would like to kind of like how they have the gnomes versus the gnomes and versus the humans down there in the Khazar port area. It'd be nice to have something like this here between all the, you know, one kind of like God Wars, but you know it's more grand, it's grander. You see everything flying. Hopefully, maybe
so like a new God Wars then.
Yep. Basically, and you know you're either side with one of them or you joined Guthix and sided with Guthix, and you know you're basically trying to do a stalemate thing. But I don't think you can ever really kill them off because when you kill off their domain, you encourage the wrath of Lumbridge and Varrock and Falador. You kill off Guthix. Well, actually, we did kill off Guthix. You kill off Zamorak. You encourage the wrath of you know every undead area down below in the Caniphus area. I don't see us killing them. We may end up killing their like top generals, part of a quest, but I don't see us killing them.
Yeah.
But actually, you know what's interesting is that we have.
I mean, but the problem is, if you kill one of their top generals, you will end up with, like, if you were to kill the Ceridoman top general, that's Commander Zilyana, and what happens to God Wars down there? So this is going to be something interesting with the choices in game. So I don't think they'd let you kill someone so important.
Actually, well, I just remember we have the power. We have the Stone of Jazz. We can actually power ourselves up even more. We are supposed to be a mini deity right now. So we can power. We can maybe.
That's right.
We'll, actually,
but we don't exactly
actually
know where this.
Go ahead.
We don't know where the stone is because remember we teleported it somewhere. That no one knows.
Well, remember you're still in touch with this magical power from the ritual Majorat thing too.
When you go down there, you get powered up by it.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is you probably start using your telekinetic powers to try and locate it. And I think what will happen is that we'll actually unlock more knowledge from the stone itself. We may bring it back to the world and like, you know,
yeah, I agree.
What side you do, you either share the knowledge within the stone or you destroy it or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because when you think about it, the Stone of Jazz and the Majorat and the Dragonkin that come from it really isn't that developed. And remember, the Ritual of the Majorat ended with the Dragonkin on a cliffhanger. So the Dragonkin got to come in somewhere in this thing, because the gods and the minor gods, somebody to do with Armadil or Zaros, is going to want to do something with the Stone of Jazz. And remember, the Dragonkin are really upset that the people have the ability to interact with that stone. So, yeah, it's going to come in somewhere, but be interesting to see where exactly this goes. And yes, I don't think you'd ever really kill a god, but we kind of went off topic there, but interesting discussion nonetheless.
Okay.
All right. So next one is from Duke Juker. Dear host, have you ever played LOL or Dota or any games like that? What do you think of them? From Duke Juker. To be honest, I know that LOL is a funny game. That's it.
Ha 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 ha. What a... yeah, I think you and I kind of are the same boat where like I don't want to do LOL or Dota because I have enough games as it is. Don't need another two to
is
waste
Dota
my
the
time.
Game where the entire progression of your character is short and you start out and then in one game session you effectively start a character from the beginning, level it up and use it? Is that the way it works?
It's the same for both. Just slightly different.
Okay.
Can't remember what Stota stood for. That's basically the whole shame, just more for you, is that this
Defense
all
start- of the Ancients is Dota.
All right, there we go. It actually started with Warcraft 3. It was a custom-made map someone made once in Dota, and called it Dota. And the game got very popular, and a bunch of versions started coming out over the internet. And it basically, it's a whole little community within the community, within the community.
And specifically Dota games, 2.
So both of these games are exactly the same, just with slight modifications to it for, you know, whatever reason.
So it's like a micro MMO that you level up in one session.
It's, how can I put it to you in a Star Trek-iness way that you would understand? Think of it as a PvP, but you constantly have Borg coming at you from both sides to attack you. So think of it as Karat. There you go. You have enemy. You have Borg all over the place that attacks you or the enemy, but you're constantly trying to fight each other. There. Okay, let's move out of Star Trekiness. Let's move on to the next one, Shane. You take it. This is your area of expertise.
So the whole, just wait. The whole point, I'm not done with these games. The whole point of these games is that
to kill your opponent.
And you start up from the very beginning.
You level up as you win matches. So more matches you win, the higher level you be, more magical spells and items you can loot that you can get. Then your main objective is to destroy your opponent's main base. What is that one game?
I guess the point is then to just have like an MMO that you can do in one session then? Or
it's not an MMO.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what that game was called. It was on Steam a while ago. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Nonetheless, I've never tried any of these in the past. So
I know. Maybe we'll try one on StarCraft.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. All right.
No.
All right, so why don't you take the next one?
All right, from St. Adair's, dear hosts, on the show you'll have talked about it for quite some time with the HTML5. Jagex has finally started with getting the teasers out, ready for it to come this summer. I look forward to RS3 personally, and with RS3 can only imagine more possibilities. Could you explain more into detail that if Jagex uses HTML5, what improvements come with that? And how can we destroy the 07 servers from St. Adair's?
Someone's been listening.
All right. So what improvements come with HTML5? You'll know that Java and RuneScape in general sometimes has the potential to be very slow. Especially if you got an older computer or Java's not running in RAM properly. So presumably using HTML5, all this would be mitigated because HTML5 is a lot more clean than Java is in terms of the sense. It's not as big. It's not as huge. Java is a huge language, and you can do pretty much anything with it, as evident by RuneScape. And it runs in a plugin in your browser. And keep in mind that in order to do this, a plugin needs to sit inside a browser, which, if you think about it, really isn't the most powerful place it can be. So that's kind of where this comes from. And the hope is that with HTML5, it'll just run faster in general. So that's the main thing. And then, of course, the second thing is all the secondary benefits that come from it, primarily the security. You know that every week, it seems, for the last couple of months, there's been some flaw being discovered with Java. So it makes sense that moving HTML5 is probably a better option to keep people safe, because HTML5 vulnerabilities and whatnot are patched whenever your browser is patched, and whenever that happens with Chrome, it's fairly instant, and it always happens. So that is another benefit of going to HTML5, in my opinion. Another thing that they highlighted, of course, is the draw distance. So we're going to be able to experience RuneScape in a much more cinematic point of view. You remember a couple years back, I don't know if you do remember, but they had a video showing a preview for some RuneScape feature. I don't remember what it was, but they actually used the rendering engine from it using custom camera controls and a wider draw distance. So that kind of thing is probably what we'll have the ability to do in HTML5, control the camera better, get better angles. People could probably even take it a step further and make better RS movies if they wanted to do that. So that's good to keep in mind as well. The thing I'm most looking forward to is just being able to run it in a browser again and not need any third-party plugins to do that with, because installing Java is annoying, especially on Linux. Same goes for OS X if you don't want to use the built-in OpenJDK client, which is, you know, it's a good compromise because it's more secure than regular Java, but we're going off in a different direction. Yeah, and I think that pretty much covers it. And, of course, better hardware, as they said. So I'm personally waiting to see if this will make it run better on OS X, because OS X and Java really haven't ever played well together. So might as well get something out there that can run better. So.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, you know more about this.
Oh, and how can we destroy the 07 servers?
Unplug the cord.
Yeah, if we were Jackix, we could do that. But the best way of doing this is to just focus on the core game. Don't create an account on an 07. And when it comes time to supposedly pay for it in August, don't pay for it and hope that they will continue to put the $5 fee on people, because I really doubt people are going to pay $12 a month for this. So.
Never know. Lots of people with disposable allowance.
Yeah, and you know, the question is, would you put it towards that, or would you rather put it towards something else?
It's okay, Shane.
Anyway, but that's the best way to go about it. It's like one of those political things. Sometimes you have to be passive rather than being active. So I just feel that's the best way to do it going forward, and just ignore it and don't put too much emphasis on it.
Okay.
Anyways, do you have any hopes for HTML5?
You know more about it than I do, so it's all.
I know, but just in general hopes from the player perspective.
From the player's perspective, I would like to really be able to do more stuff with combat, but I don't know how they would do it. EOC is nice, but I think it's still lacking a lot of stuff. It needs more continuity.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing they could do with the HTML5 update, just make the EOC interface better, make it more customizable, have two or three action bars up at once, something you and I've been wanting.
I just want more action bars, not just more at once. I want more of them.
Yeah, that'd be good too. So maybe that'll come with it. I mean, imagine you could tailor your interface to be a combat person or a skilling person based on what you do. So, and in general, that's got to help usability and whatnot. So that's another thing I'm going to be looking forward to. Most people would overlook something like that, but I think that's one of the most important things we can do, just because the interface we're using is descended from an interface from 2004 with minor skin changes and so many inconsistencies through it. I mean, it's just bad how much baggage that thing's got.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on to tech news. Only three questions this week. But if you guys want to send in a question, you can do that on the forums. Topics usually go up on Monday. We try and post who's going to be on the show, and people post their questions and tailor them specifically towards that. And of course, audio questions, those can be sent in too. Email them to questions@rsbnb.com, leave a voicemail on Skype, or phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. All right. Ready?
All right, tech news. Go, go.
All right. So, this week, Apple decided it was time to roll out multi-factor authentication for the Apple IDs. So.
Okay, but so.
After they did this, there was a bit of a problem with their password reset tool. There was a security flaw that would allow anyone to reset a password given an email address and a date of birth. And you just password and the account would be yours. I know. That would be like you getting into my account. So, pretty bad. But by the time we're talking about this, it's been fixed. So that's good, as always. So not much to worry about this going forward, but in general, it's a good reason to keep your passwords secure and keep them changing regularly and make sure they are not simple passwords. You want them to be probably between 8 and 12 characters long, combination of upper and lowercase characters. So.
Standard, eh?
Keep that... Keep your password secure.
Let's see.
Also with this, the two-factor authentication rolled out in the US, UK, Australia, Ireland, and New Zealand. Unfortunately, not Canada on this list. When I saw this, I really wanted to try it out, but of course not able to because it's not here yet. But I highly recommend anybody who has an Apple account in one of the listed countries to try it out. So, because it'll make your account a lot more secure.
Hmm. Yeah, that's your domain, not mine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, boy.
What?
I'm just reading a rather interesting conversation in the somewhere. I'll paste it to you after. But, yes, definitely enable that and keep your password secure. Mm. All right, next up. What do you think of smartwatches?
A watch that does more than just... Well, a watch that still tells time, hopefully. It's going to be like the Spy Kids 2 watch, but there was no room for the clock. It's an old joke, Shane. You'll never understand. You'll never understand.
No, I saw that movie. I saw that movie.
You did? That's interesting. Yeah. Remember during the trailer, the super brainiac uncle made like the watch can do almost everything except tell what time it is because there was no space for the watch. No space for the clock.
I see.
So this was probably this one's going to be connected to Bluetooth, probably to your phone as well, and probably to your Android market and everything else.
Hmm. Yeah, and you know that makes sense for Google to do something like this because I know Samsung also is in on this, and we think Apple might be in on it too because it just makes sense. It's the next logical place to go because you have a regular computer, and then where do we go after this? We go to wearable computing, and Google Glass is a good example of that. So. I don't know. Would you buy one?
No. Probably going to cost $300.
Okay.
A little out of my price range.
My watch is from the late...
I was going to say, I still have my watch. I still like my watch. I'm happy with that.
Okay. My watch is from the late 90s. It's an old digital thing. So I would be interested in looking at one of these because there are times already when I am looking, wanting to look something up, like the weather or how much time is left in some timer I'm running elsewhere. And it's just natural to look at my watch to try and find the weather or something. I don't know why I do that, but I do.
Oh, God.
So
Nerd level 6. Nerd level 6. That's what you are, Shane.
I mean, Apple would probably be the one I'd go with, but, you know, they already had something like this. It was called the iPod Nano, and you could buy a strap to strap it around your wrist. It's too bad they got rid of that form factor. So.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm happy with my old-style digital watch. I've had that for a good 10 years, and it's still clicking. I'm happy with that one.
Yeah, but still, imagine if you could check email or check the weather on something like that. Well, maybe not check email, but just get a notification saying that you got a new email, then look to your phone, and there we go.
Yeah, that's why I have a belt clip for my phone. I don't like putting it in my pocket. I prefer to have it on my belt. So if it shakes, I actually feel it.
What about... I don't know. I just think it's such a good form factor. And, you know, I think this will be the less intrusive version from Google Glass. So just interesting stuff going forward. And, you know, it's about time to have another Apple innovation. The iPad was 2010. The iPhone was 2007. Maybe we'll see the watch in 2013?
Nah. I don't see a 2013. Within the next 5, well, maybe next 3. I would say next 3. Because, you know,
have the technology to do something like that.
Make
stuff small enough, you know?
Yeah, we can, you know, we'll be built cameras that can, you know, be mounted onto a machine that's the size of a dragonfly. And you can actually use magnetic fields to recharge it. That's all, you know, delta force.
Yeah, I'd like to have one of those, like a remote control dragonfly that had a camera on it so I could go flying around the neighborhood.
And spy on Mike.
Why would I need to do that?
Because I know you. If I was there, I know you would spy on me. Let's see.
Yep, so, that's entirely true.
See?
Ready to move on?
Uh-huh. So Service Pack 1 coming out, eh?
For Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing that Windows 7's getting a Service Pack 1. I thought Microsoft said they were done with Service Packs. But nonetheless, over the next couple days, it'll start rolling out to users over Windows Update. So if you run Windows Update, you'll get Service Pack 1. And it's going to be including all the updates up until now. So if you're up to date, you really shouldn't feel anything. But if you're not up to date or installing a fresh system, you probably will have a quite substantial download to do.
Or you can do what Reed's pick a couple of weeks ago and just do it that way.
Yeah, download all the updates beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it onto a flash drive and just stick it into your computer.
Yep. So, just a general reminder with this to keep your Windows updates on and install the Service Pack when it comes down, because it's not a good idea to skip out on updates, even Service Packs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anything else on here? Nah, that's nothing.
Moving on to talk about the Skill of the Month, which there's really no point in. The chart's pretty much the same as last week. We'll just do an XP update. JAM Andy 3.5 mil. Pernasius with roughly 2 million XP gained. And third is Zahara Knight with 744,000 XP. Still two people at the bottom who haven't got any XP yet. Get some XP. That would be good. And you know, this is the first time we had a summoning skill of the month in March with no bonus XP weekend.
You still have one more week.
Yeah, I think we would have heard something by now, though.
Maybe they finally took what you took your lesson to heart and wait till Friday to announce it.
Maybe. That would be good, I think. Yeah, that would be good. That'd be the perfect time to do it because, you know, it is the Easter long weekend and everything. Next week. So. Good. So I look forward to see what's happening, but as usual, summoning skill of the month typically get boring near the end of the month.
Yeah, usually people run out of money by now.
Yeah, that's true. And heading on to achievements of the week, we got what seems like a continuation from last week. Parcelmouth, once again, our two achievements of the week, getting another $2.99, so congratulations to you. This week, he got 99. No. There's two there. Oops. Yeah, I see what you mean. He got 99 crafting, and I want to say 99 smithing. Let me just have a look at the high scores quickly about this. Apparently, I had a bit of a typing issue once again. Isn't that great?
You always have a typing issue.
Okay, the second 99 was prayer. So he got 99 crafting and 99 prayer. So congratulations.
Okay. Hey, congrats, dude.
And let's aim for some diversity next week and have more people than just the same person going on for 2 weeks in a row here. Granted, it's good that he got those 99s, but let's keep going. Alrighty. So, you know what time of the show it is?
Your pick of the week?
Yes, I have a pick of the week. Do you know what today is? Or tonight is, rather?
Let's see, today is March 23rd. Does it have to do with Star Trek?
No.
It's not Mole Day.
I'm surprised you don't know what tonight is.
Okay, what happens tonight?
Tonight is Earth Hour, but that is not my pick.
Okay.
I did this as a pick last year, but I might as well do it again this year, because it's just something I like to do. Rather than plunge ourselves into darkness and, you know, sit in the dark with candles and whatnot, why don't we just turn everything on and have some fun and use what we've earned, like our computers, our iPhones, our iPads, and celebrate what's called the Human Achievement Hour rather instead of Earth Hour. So rather than sitting in the dark, I encourage everybody listening to this tonight to go and play RuneScape or something and gather in the friends chat and just enjoy themselves rather than sitting in the dark. I'll read a clip for you about what it says about this. On March 23rd, some people will be sitting in the dark to express their vote for action on global climate change. Instead, you can join the CEI and thousands of people around the world who will be celebrating Human Achievement Hour. Leave your lights on to express your appreciation for the innovations and inventions that make today the best time to be alive and recognize that future solutions require individual freedom and not government coercion.
So you're becoming more humanist.
Well, in general, over something where we sit in the dark, yes.
Okay.
Because I don't know about you, but it just makes more sense to just look for a solution using our existing technology rather than to plunge ourselves in the darkness and pretend like we're living in the Stone Age.
Nobody said that.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in the Stone Age. Would you like to live around without having adequate sewage and whatnot?
I did. Remember, I went back to a third world country during the summer. I was lucky that we had electricity. When I went back to visit my family.
I wouldn't call Vietnam a third world country. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a third world country. I'd call it a second world country, LDC.
Sure. Let's see. So, anyway, oh, you don't pay the light bills. Of course you don't care.
Hey, it's an extra hour, so it doesn't matter really, does it? The amount of power you use would have been being used anyways, and in other places, the reason it doesn't make sense is that the coal-fired generators or whatever using the nuclear power plants, depending where you are, those are going to be running regardless of where you are. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's just a little stunt. It's like what I was saying. Some things are better to be more passive than activist with the servers and this. This is one of those things. So that's where I'm coming from on this, and I just encourage everyone to just think about whether they want to be in the dark tonight or if they want to play RuneScape. That is all.
Yes. Why don't we all, Shane, why don't we, why don't you invite everyone and we go into your car and we can drive around with all your headlights on a high beam?
That's different because that's being powered by a gasoline engine. All right. What you been up to?
Actually, it's been a busy week. I've just been working and finished up all my midterms this week. And in terms of RS, finally got 90 runecrafting, started doing the occultist storyline to get some more chi going on, did some dragonstones, and got some gothic butterflies. I had a nice batch of dragonstones coming in this week.
Where does your gothics XP go to?
It's a toss-up between smithing, hunter, and construction. So I'll get hunter, then I'll get smithing, then I'll get construction, and then back to hunter.
Okay.
All right. What about you, Shane?
Dragon stones are good profit.
I was getting almost 5K for off of each one.
Nice, nice. And how many do you do per day?
Depends how many come in.
Shit, patience I should is a do virtue, that. That Shane. Seems like a good amount of money. I have gold bar, so if I smith them into gold bars.
I've been telling you to do that for a long, long time.
Man, being cheap is good. Being cheap is good, isn't it?
I'm not cheap, asshole. If I was cheap, I'd make my own dragonstones. That's called, farming my own half keys, going to the chest, getting it, cutting, and doing that way. That takes longer. Shane, I'm not cheap.
All right.
Okay?
Yes, you are. You are.
No, I'm not cheap.
So what have I been doing this week? Not much, really. This week I did celebrate a major accomplishment. I got 85 Dungeoneering, finally. So I'm officially done with that skill. I'm not doing any more of it. So I checked out the Frost Dragons and discovered that.
Did you do a sinkhole or did you just do the daily thing?
I did a sinkhole, but I didn't get any XP from it. I got the token reward. So I waited until I got the daily challenge to come up, and that did it for me.
Okay.
I mean, when I did the sinkhole, I wasn't really sure to try and how to get the other XP. So,
but gotta play the cards.
Yeah, 85 Dungeoneering. There are no bots anymore at the Frost Dragons, as evident by their huge increase in price. So fighting Frost Dragons might be a good thing to do if you're looking for a good amount of money. I think there's something like 13K a pop. So 13,000 times 28, you can make a good amount of money, like roughly 350K, give or take. Though I'm not sure exactly how much time it takes to kill a Frost Dragon. I didn't actually try that. Do you have any ideas? Okay. But aside from that, I have a question for everyone. I created a poll on our forums. Basically, I'm thinking that, I only got a couple things left that I want to do on this account. Because at this point, everything just feeling like it's taking too long to get where I'm going. And, it's really not worth it at the end of the day. Because, like, for example, I'd like 99 smithing, but it's not one of my favorite skills, so it's not something I want to get 99 in. just for the hell of it. I mean, I'd rather be doing other things rather than getting 99 smithing in a skill that I don't really enjoy. So the idea is that I would create a new character and go for 99 farming again. The catch this time would be that I would source my own seeds through my own methods, meaning I wouldn't use the Grand Exchange to get them. So it would take longer, but it's a completely different way of doing it the way I did the first time. And I think it would create a good foundation to do a couple of other skills as well. So like Herbler, for example, imagine farming all those herbs. I mean, just the amount you could get and the amount of profit you could make from it. So that's what I'm thinking of doing. I have a poll open. Link will be in the show notes. I'd appreciate it if everyone just have a look and tell me what you think. I mean, people have generally been receptive towards it, so I don't see why I wouldn't want to do that. Because at the same time, because if not, I'm just sitting doing nothing, right? So why not do something where I can enjoy myself? That's the way I see it, at least.
Okay. You know, it's going back into the 07 server.
No, that is not an option. And here's the reason why it's not an option.
I like the modernness of
RuneScape that we have. The graphics, HTML5 that we're going to have this summer, the skilling bar from EOC, all the little teleports going around, Make-X, everything. It just doesn't make sense to be going back to something that's so archaic and so tiny, you know?
You'll make more money in the long run.
I've been there. I know you could do that, but it's just so damn tiny. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back to playing that game like that when we have all the innovations we have now. It's much like Human Achievement Hour. Why go back to the Stone Age when we got modern technology, right?
Why do people go camping?
To get away from it all.
Exactly.
But they're not advocating that they spend their whole life there. You know what
Some
I mean?
Some people do.
I don't know.
Mostly
anyways,
hippies.
I'm done.
Okay, that's it then, unless you want to say anything else.
No, I'm good, unless you have anything else.
Sending questions, sending audio questions, and have a good spring break for those of you who are in school.
There we go, and also send us our SpeenB update focus ideas. Link is on the main website. I'll also throw a link into the show notes for that as well. See you next week, everyone.
Bye.